And President Donald Trump and Joe Biden are both heading to the critical swing state of Florida today as the U.S. election reaches a climax. Fresh economic data in the United States shows the country's economic output now growing at a record pace. Our U.S. correspondent Simon Marks reports from Washington.
President Trump's campaign message in Florida will be enhanced by the publication this morning of GDP numbers showing the U.S. economy grew at a record 33% in the third quarter of this year. But given the depth of America's recession, voters know the country is by no means out of the woods, especially with a fresh wave of COVID-19 infections now itself setting records all over the nation. Joe Biden's message in Florida and nationally is that you can't fix the economy without controlling the virus.
I'm not running on the false promise of being able to end this pandemic by flipping a switch. But what I can promise you is this. We will start on day one doing the right things. We'll let science drive our decisions. We will deal honestly with the American people. And we'll never, ever, ever quit.
And the former vice president is hoping that message resonates, but he knows in the Sunshine State he's trailing President Trump with Hispanic and Latino voters especially. And some of them, hawkish towards Cuba and Venezuela, thinks the president is a safer bet to confront revolutionary governments in Havana and Caracas. Simon Marks, Eyewitness News, Washington.
Eyewitness News. In touch, in tune, and independent. For the latest, visit ewn.co.za.
You're with John Perlman on 702.
Live, online, smartphones, the 702 app.
DSTV channel 856, 92.7, and 106 FM.
10 minutes past 5 on 702. This is Afternoon Drive with me, John Perlman. Great to have you with us. We've started a conversation about the internet. This is International Internet Day. We'd love to hear from you. What's improved in your life with access to the internet? What's changed? Perhaps not so much for the good, particularly in regard to the education of young people. There's an interesting SMS that I'll share with you on that in a moment, but do call us on that or send us a WhatsApp voice note, 072-702-1702. Let's focus our attention now on the US elections, and this really by way of a backgrounder, because many people will follow it with great interest when Americans go to the polls early next week. But there will be some confusion for many people, I think, as to why you can get more votes than the other person, as Clinton did in 2016, and still lose the election. Well, the key to that is something called the Electoral College. And to explain how it works, Simon Marks is president and chief correspondent of Feature Story News. You heard him a moment ago in that news bulletin, and joining us now from Washington, D.C. Simon, good to have you with us on the show.
Great to be back with you, John.
Amateur's guide, keen amateur guide to the Electoral College. How does it work?
Well, let me tell you, after having been in this country for many years now, there is nothing that chills the blood of foreign correspondents in Washington more than the moment when every 4 years we have to explain the Electoral College to our audiences. Yes. You are absolutely correct. The Electoral College is the reason Hillary Clinton is not president. If you look back at 2016, she won nearly 3 million votes more than Donald Trump, but she won them in the wrong places. And that's what the Electoral College essentially exists to mitigate and to adjudicate. It's a middleman between the voters all over the country and the White House. There are 538 members of this Electoral College, and they are divided up state by state, based on the size of each state's congressional delegation. So, California, massive state with a large congressional delegation, has 55 of the 538 votes in the Electoral College. In other words, California speaks for about 10% of the Electoral College. Texas is the second most influential state in the college. It's got 38 delegates. Then comes Florida and New York with 29 electors each, 29 delegates each. And then down at the other end of the scale, states that are not particularly populous, I mean, they may be geographically large, like yes. Alaska, or they may be geographically small, like Delaware, or even the District of Columbia here in Washington, itself, they've only got three members of the Electoral College. So that's why the two candidates slugging it out in the race for the White House focus so much on the need to win 270 votes in the Electoral College. That's the magic number.
Yes.
That when the college meets, and they physically meet, they gather here in Washington in January to kind of cast the final vote in the final act of this presidential election. You need a majority, just a majority of one in the Electoral College, and you can win it with 270 votes out of those 538 total number of electors. It is, you know, many would argue, an undemocratic way of going about the business of electing a president, because it means that you can win millions more votes. I mean, theoretically, if you look at the math, you could win as many as 6 or 7 million more votes than your opponent, but you could still lose the keys to the Oval Office.
So that would explain, Simon, why Donald Trump on the one hand, Joe Biden on the other, are targeting particular states. So you don't often hear about either of them, for example, visiting Colorado, which has 9 seats, electoral college seats. They are in and out of Florida, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan. I may have missed a couple, but that is the focus of their work. Does it mean they tailor their policies and platforms to those places, or do they just make sure they're seen there?
Oh, no, absolutely they do. And there's a couple of reasons why they're focusing on those specific states. I mean, first of all, there are states like California with 55 electoral college votes. We know that's going to vote Democratic because of the makeup of its population. There's no possibility that Donald Trump wins California. So Joe Biden already knows he's got 10% of the Electoral College in his back pocket. But when you look at the battleground states, those are the swing states that sometimes vote Republican, sometimes vote Democratic, but always end up deciding the outcome of the election. The big prize is the state that both Donald Trump and Joe Biden are visiting today, and that's Florida, the Sunshine State. If you don't win Florida, your path to the White House in the Electoral College, because it's got 29 votes there, you know, more than 10% of the total you need to get a majority, your path to the White House becomes much more complicated. So both candidates today will absolutely be in Florida and will absolutely be emphasizing the messaging that they need to emphasize to reach the communities they're having trouble with. In the case of Joe Biden, he is having problems with the Latino and Hispanic vote in Florida, particularly, for example, Cuban exiles and Venezuelan exiles in Florida who worry that he's going to be soft on communist governments in those two countries. It was notable about an hour ago. I started getting emails from Joe Biden today, suddenly in Spanish. There's a reason for that. He's trying to reach those communities. Donald Trump, by contrast, is having terrible trouble with the enormous community of retirees in Florida because they don't approve of him dismissing COVID-19 as a public health threat, because obviously they're right in the front line of potentially catching it. And they also don't particularly like many of his antics on the campaign trail. So he's relentlessly been trying to reach out to seniors and retirees to assure them that he's going to take care of them in their advancing years. So absolutely, the existence of these swing states and battleground states become totally central, both in the story of the platform and the policies that the candidates are advancing at this stage of the campaign, but also in terms of physically where they are campaigning.
Thanks very much, Simon Marks, on the line to us from Washington. Hope that makes some more sense of the American election. It's a fascinating system. It's not one I suspect that we will ever employ here, and I don't think anywhere else in the world does anything similar, but I could be wrong on that. If you know different, do give us a call. 18 minutes past 5.